Welcome to Chair Chat, an online web series hosted by me, Jamie Harrison, the chairman of the South Carolina Democratic Party. Our goal in this series is to begin to look at political leaders, activists, and people involved in politics in a three-dimensional manner. We will move past the political caricatures to get to know the individual. So now, let's chat.
My guest is the highest-ranking Hispanic member of Congress and currently serves as the House Democratic Caucus Chairman. I am so pleased to have on our chat the chairman, my good friend, Congressman Javier Becerra. Welcome, Chair Chats.
Mr. Chairman, thanks for having me.
It's so good seeing you, Congressman. It's good having you back here in South Carolina. We had you here, about 2 years ago?
A couple years ago, yeah.
And it's just so good to have you here. And it seems like we're getting Democrats from all across the country, from California to New York, that are all coming here to South Carolina.
This is a place to be. More and more, I think people are realizing that what happens in South Carolina is going to happen around the country.
And right now, this whole talk of immigration right now is hot and heavy. Give us a little sense in terms of your family background. When did your family come here to the United States?
It's like almost every immigrant's story. It's kind of varied. My father was actually born in the U.S., but grew up in Mexico.
Wow.
He and his family would come up and down the state of California, sometimes go up beyond California, to harvest crops, you know, work the fields. Everywhere there was work, they'd go. He married my mother when she was 18, brought her from Guadalajara, Jalisco, in the state of Jalisco in Mexico, when she was 18, as I said. And they started their home in one of the base camps that my parents' family used to use in Sacramento. So I was born and raised in Sacramento. I'm the first in my family to have a chance to get that college degree, the four-year college degree. My three sisters and I all have some college.
Yeah.
And it's really fascinating because you watch as a man who got to the sixth grade but then had to start working. He was the oldest of eight. And my mother, who in those days there wasn't a whole lot of opportunity for women to go beyond getting essentially something like a high school or a vocational degree, a training degree, they both did very well for their kids, and so I'm lucky.
Well, and listen, I mean, not only did you go on to get a college degree, but you got a law degree, but you went to Stanford originally, right? That's where your undergraduate education is?
We smacked them down, and we showed that we're not just good in academics, but we can do a few other things pretty well, too. It's a great school.
Yeah.
I got into Stanford because I applied at the last moment, and I applied at the last moment because it happened that a friend of mine who was going to apply had decided not to. I think we had just taken an exam and he hadn't done so well. He figured, I'm not going to get into Stanford. So he was going to just trash the application. I said, no, don't do that. Let me have it. So I filled it out, you know, with a pen, whited out my mistakes. My parents didn't know how to help me with that. And so submitted it. I didn't know where Stanford was. I grew up and born and raised in Sacramento, California. It's 2 hours from Stanford University. I didn't know where Stanford was till the day I was driving there with my mom to start.
Very similar story. My first day on the Yale campus was the day I had to be there.
Yeah.
I mean, we never traveled.
Yeah.
And you, again, you were a pioneer.
We all aspire to do what our parents didn't have a chance to do, to open the doors that were close to them. My dad couldn't walk into restaurants. He would tell us the stories as a young man because of the signs that said, no dogs or Mexicans allowed.
Wow.
So they could only try to help us dream these things. But at the same time, there's a cohort, there's a group of young people today in America from immigrant backgrounds who are called dreamers because they came to this country really small, but without documents. So they're unauthorized.
Yeah.
They don't have documents. They're undocumented. That group of young people who've essentially grown up here, never known anything else but America's home, don't have the right to be here because they don't have documents.
What can we do, Congressman, and it's a great segue to the topic of immigration and immigration reform and the hateful rhetoric that is coming out of the other side of the aisle on this. And not to say that all Republicans think the way that Donald Trump and some of these others are saying, But what can we do in order to push back against this rhetoric and this the beautiful wall that, quote unquote, beautiful wall that Donald Trump has been talking about?
That Mexico will pay for.
That Mexico will pay for. And he'll do it because he'll be huge. Yeah.
Look, there are Republicans who want to get this done and do it the right way. It's unfortunate that almost all the Republicans who are running for president are saying the wrong things. Even those who in the past had tried to say some things that I think were the right things, now they seem to have flip-flopped, and now they're trying to get votes from the really extreme conservative base. But listen, we know this from previous struggles. You just can't give up.
You know, I'm interested to get your perspective. So, you know, here in South Carolina, we have an African-American senator, Tim Scott, who very much grew up with probably a similar background to us, working class and what have you. But Tim Scott is extremely conservative and has come out against, you know, even though he's talking about how you battle poverty, and he and Speaker Ryan had a forum here in South Carolina about that. But he's voted against, you know, the farm bill that included food stamps. He's voted against some of the student loan legislation that was promoted. And I can't round that circle to figure out how you can do those things and at the same time have this rhetoric about fighting poverty. And I see that in terms of the African-American experience and community and think about, well, how can you do that when I know you have relatives that are experiencing these things now? In the Latino community, you have, on the Republican side, you have Ted Cruz and you have Marco Rubio. Who are immigrants into a family with immigrants into a nation, but yet the rhetoric that's coming coming from them and from their party. What are your thoughts in terms of, again, from the Latino experience? What are your thoughts and how do you feel about that type of rhetoric and what's going on that side?
Here's the real problem I have with Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio. I get this, it feels like they're running from their heritage in my book, mm-hmm. that they don't want to say who they are. I mean, I'm a proud Democrat, mm-hmm. but I'm Latino before I'm Democrat. I can't erase the skin.
Exactly right.
You know, so I'm always going to be brown.
Yeah.
I don't have to always be Democrat. And if my party abandons me, my values, I can change. Mm-hmm. I can't change that.
Can't change that.
And so why would Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz flip-flop on issues, hide, run away from the issues that they are, or I would hope they are. And the purest example of that is the way they're attacking these children who are coming at the border, who are seeking refuge from the violence in Central America. Jamie, remember something. If that child is Cuban and
exactly
makes it,
right.
puts a toe over the U.S. border, they become refugees automatically.
Automatically.
And they don't say anything about changing the law that gives a Cuban this extreme advantage over anyone else, yet they blast and they attack these immigrant families that are trying to do better for their kids. And so you can be conservative. You can say you got to put up a wall. But by God, then make sure everyone has to be behind that and can't get a special privilege just because of their particular national origin.
Yeah.
And by the way, I have nothing against Cuban immigrants who come to this country. I would welcome them if they wish to work hard and make this country better. I'm just pointing out the real hypocrisy in immigration and to have two candidates who seem to run from who they are and make it difficult for us to get things done.
Well, Congressman, I think through this interview, people have seen why you are seen as a superstar in the Democratic caucus. The clarity of your message, your passion. And so many folks, and I know along the staff and some of the political writers, have said that they think that one day you're going to be the first Hispanic Speaker of the House. But there's also buzz that maybe that might not happen. Maybe it's because you might be the vice presidential nominee come this summer. So what are your thoughts in terms of your future in the Democratic Party? Do you aspire to stay in the House, or are you thinking about maybe running for other federal office one day? What are your thoughts?
So I find it really fascinating when someone says, would you like to do this? And, you know, we're in this world, this political world, because I think we want to make a difference.
Yeah.
So if someone says to you, Jamie, It's the fourth quarter. This is the fourth year, right? Every 4 years we have an election. So it's the fourth quarter. Clock's ticking down. Game's on the line. If the coach or the quarterback says, I'm going to call your number, Jamie, what do you say? No, I don't want to. No. You work, you prepare so that they want to call your number. You want to show that you earned the chance to have them call your number when it counts the most.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what it'll be, mm-hmm. whether I'm carrying the ball or whether I'm blocking or whether I'm catching. I want to be in the game.
Yeah.
And I will do everything to earn a chance to be in the game. But the bottom line is Hillary Clinton will be the quarterback. At least I believe Hillary Clinton will be the quarterback. She's going to make the call. And
you've endorsed Secretary Clinton for the presidency.
I have.
And why was that?
I just said she's the quarterback. I do believe she's the best quarterback we've got. The best tested, whether it's in the really deep down politics that we see that we're fighting out day to day in Congress, or the way she's dealt with a lot of issues, whether it's gun violence, whether it's getting kids to get to college, whether it's taking care of those student loans that burden people, whether it's making sure wages are increased. She's been there. She's done that. There's no one better tested. And if she's well tested domestically, I guarantee you there's no one better tested in the hot spots around the world. I hope Bernie does well. I want Bernie to be out there strong. We've got great Democrats running for president, but you want your best quarterback on the field.
My last question. Can the House Democrats get the majority back this election cycle?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. But we need help. We need momentum. We need folks like you and me. If we don't come out, I don't know how much we win.
Yeah.
But we need to get those communities that sometimes don't feel like they're part of the game. Yeah. We need them to feel that we're going to call their number. That when it comes to going to college, it's not just going to be my girls who now have the experience of living with two professionals in their home. No, it's going to be folks like my parents, a construction worker and a clerical worker, sixth grade education, who still have a chance. I don't know if I can say that. I really believe that today a construction worker and a clerical worker can expect their four kids to go to college, that they'll buy their first home, and that they'll be able to retire in dignity. But that's who I want in the game. I want my parents, I want my mother and father in the game because, man, I know what they can do.
Exactly.
And if we can give people that belief, we're winning.
Well, Congressman, Mr. Chairman, thank you so much for rocking in our rocking chair and being here on Chair Chats with us.
I enjoyed it.
And thank you because you're always welcome on Chair Chats. You can also find our podcast on iTunes.